Hallelujah. What a Savior. Sweet girl who got saved and wasn't ashamed of it, followed the Lord in baptism. All that the good God has done, He's a good God. Can somebody say amen? He's a wonderful Savior. Dottie and I have so much enjoyed being here. I know you have of all the missionary families, but you have thought of our every need and taken care of us in such a wonderful way. And I know that you realize that there's nothing like your own bed and nothing like your own house. But as close as you can make it to home, you've done that, and we so much appreciate it. The fellowship, I know some people now by name, and I believe that you are a beloved brother, a beloved sister in Christ, and several of you have said that along with the other missionaries, you'll be praying for us, and we certainly appreciate that. I had a sneaking suspicion a few years ago when I met Brother Nefshiel that he was going to be my friend, and that has proven to be true. And thank the Lord for him and his wife that stands by him and their kids who are honoring them and honoring the Lord. And then, of course, this great church. The music has been beautiful, beautiful, not only by our missionaries, but by the folks of the church. It's just been beautiful. The meals have been great. I can even give a thumbs up to the sound people. Now, that's unusual, but the sound people have been good. And they've been great. Let's see. Let me get turned. See, you didn't tell me that wasn't turned on. Or am I turned on? Huh? I'm turned on now. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let's see. Somebody said something about translating. I forget who it was. Somebody up here tonight mentioned something about it. Interpreter, translator. I think about a lady, if I'm not mistaken, Dottie. She was an Asian that had come from Switzerland and invited somebody and two or three different nationalities down on the last day. That's what made me think of it. On the last day that she was there, she got saved. On her way to China, is that correct? On her way to China, this lady got saved. And I thought about that tonight when the pastor mentioned that you were on your way to southern Mississippi, the foreign country of southern Mississippi. Boy, I mean to tell you, that's almost out of the country when you go down that far. Skeeters and depending on where you are, snakes and crawfish etouffee and things of that nature. Well, it really has been a great week, and tonight will be for one more year. And of course, when we say a year, that's biblical. The Lord willing, I do want to wrap up a few things tonight, and then I want to take just a few minutes challenging you from the Word of God, why we ought to reach the world. You know, it's all through the Bible, but I'll turn in a few moments to a passage of Scripture and share with you some thoughts on why you and I ought to be involved in reaching the world. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I want to tell you that I brought in some of the GI banners. This is our quarterly magazine printed by the Military Ministry of Baptist International Missions. And this one happens to have a featured article in it that they called The Miracle of Mannheim. And it is a little snapshot of the work that God gave Dottie and myself. And I'd like to ask just the adults to come and get it. I'm going to try to make them last for two or three more conferences. And if you'll just get one per adult, if you'd like to get it, they are back there, as well as some other material. But take it and read it, and it might give you some more insight into what God let us do while we were in Germany those 20 years. When you go to bed tonight and when you pray, remember to pray for our military people. I thank God for Brother Curtis and others in this church that have served in our United States military. There are 1.5 million Americans that are in uniform in various places of the world. And you hear a story about a bad egg now and then, but you know, you can hear a story about a bad egg in an independent Baptist church. But I say that to say this, they are great people. They are wonderful people. And while you and I sit comfortably, they go places that, you know, we don't go. And Dottie and I, we're gonna stick with them. We, when our base closed in Germany, we could have stayed. We were reaching and baptizing usually about a German a month. And we had a good German congregation that we spoke to through translation, and we could have stayed, but we love the military, and that's what we are going to do unless the Lord directs us otherwise the rest of our lives. And we'll be here, there, and everywhere, and we'll be in different parts of the world trying to be a help to our United States military. I'd appreciate you praying for us. Get one of our prayer cards and just remember to pray for us. I know I've said it two or three times, but I want to say it again. Thank you, preacher. Thank you so much for letting us come. It's just been a privilege and an honor. Why don't we just start off in review tonight? Now, I'm leading up to the Faith Promise card. How many of you do not have one of these cards in your possession? You've forgotten, left it at home. It's stuck in a drawer. Or you weren't here one night when we were giving them out. Guys, you got them back there? You got them, okay. Now, how many of you, head of the household, if you got two people bringing in a salary, then get two of them. Let's see how it goes, first of all of the adults and teenagers, if you didn't get one, then we'll talk about the children beyond that. Okay, if you didn't get one, raise your hand if you didn't get one. All right, over here, there are two gentlemen over here, and they are chewing at the bit, ready to get involved in this. Okay, all right, anybody else? Now, okay, boys, I'll deal with y'all later, okay? Thank you for your willingness. Now get your card, put it in your hand, sort of like this. Get your card and put it in your hand. You got it? All right, raise it and let me see it. Raise it and let me see it. There are a couple folks over here, I don't see yours. Why is that? All right, thank you so much. I appreciate that. In case you may have missed it, I said this is the way you're going to vote for the church's part in world evangelism. You say, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. Okay, just let the rest of the world go to hell. Just let them go to hell. This is how you and I will vote for world evangelism. And remember, four occasions ended the each of the gospel, and in the beginning of the book of Acts, after the resurrection of Christ, Jesus said to you and to me, go into all the world. Go into all the world. Remember in Acts chapter 1, he told us to reach people simultaneously. When the Holy Ghost has come upon us, when you got saved, if you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, with authority and with power, tells us to begin at Jerusalem. That's our Jerusalem, right where we are. And then spread out from our Jerusalem and take the gospel to all the world simultaneously. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, God's word says, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And God's word says in the previous verse to that, that God has given order to us through the Apostle Paul. Order, an orderly system. God has put things in order. God has devised an orderly plan that you and I was listening to radio today. I went to Brother Westmoreland's and saw the new auditorium and came back here and visited a minute or so with the pastor. But on the way back here, I heard, and I have no glee in this, but the radio station said there is a war going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. They're trying to kick Paige Patterson out of the university, and there's a split between what they call moderates, what we would call liberals. There's a split between the liberals and what we would call conservatives in the Southern Baptist Convention. And I once again thought about it, that God has given His church a plan to reach the world. And in another place, it's called a fellowship. So you go by those boards back there, and those boards which represent the missionaries that you already support, and those missionaries are on the field, they probably are partnering with about 50 to 75 other churches. How many churches you expect y'all are going to have to finish out yours?
Probably about
80. I think our son, when he went to Germany, and he raised $6,500. You say, $6,500. Gas is $10 a gallon. Little old apartment about the size of one of your small Sunday school rooms, $700 to $1,000 a month. What is the dollar amount that y'all have been recommended to raise?
About
$10,000. And that's you know, they're going over there and living high on the hog. They ain't. Now, different parts of the world are different. Different parts. But God has given a plan. They have been, how long have y'all been on a deputation now? 2 years. 2 years they've been on deputation going to church. Can you imagine moving from place to place and smiling? Hey, we're glad to be here. And no doubt they are. But I mean, and hadn't these children been wonderful? I mean, all of these children wonderful. God has given a plan, a fellowship, to get missionaries to the field. And then one of the wonderful byproducts of it, how many missionaries y'all support now, preacher? Huh? 52. You've got 52 families praying for this church. I mean, that's a lot of power. when you've got that many people praying for your church. But they are. I mean, they've told the preacher, "Preacher, we'll be praying for you." They have told their mission agency, "Preacher, sir, we're going to be praying for our supporting churches." They've told their pastor that sent them out, "We're going to be praying. We're going to be praying." And then in God's Word, over there in Philippians, we are told once again in chapter 1, "He that hath begun a good work in you." Now, that good work began in Acts chapter 16. Getting the gospel out all over the world. Paul did what all of us ought to do when we're right with God. Get saved, strike out, and start telling people about Jesus. And that's what Paul did. And then Paul got to seeing a greater world, and God spoke to him through that Macedonian call. And God put an organism, a plan together. I've already told you it's called an order. And in Philippians chapter 1, it's called a good work. God put that good work together. That's why we're here for this missions conference. I believe that the missions conference is the high day of the church year. Now, I've beat all around this all week long, but turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Turn to the book of Philippians. I have told you that God expects every one of us simultaneously to reach the world. Now, not all of us can go. Am I right? Not all of us have the money to buy the airplane tickets and take off. Now, we ought to do what we can do right here. We ought to witness right here. But look, if you will, please, just direct your attention to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 and see what Paul says. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, somebody might say, "I just can't get involved in this matter of grace giving." God says you can. I can do all things. All things. You can reach people for Christ. You can help other people. "I can do all things for Christ which strengtheneth me." And then look at verse 15, if you will. "Now ye Philippians," this is a poor church. Corinthians was a wealthy church. Philippians, poor church. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel." Now, when was the beginning of the gospel? Somebody might say that's when Jesus died and rose again from the dead. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when the gospel started for the Philippians. That's where it started for me. The gospel started for me on May the 15th, 1963 at 8:30, just outside of the back gate of Camp Lejeune. And Paul speaks about the beginning of the gospel. "At the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me." Now that word "communicated" means gave. No church gave to me. No church with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only the Philippians. Isn't that an amazing thing? The greatest preacher other than Jesus that has ever lived on the face of this earth, and he only had one supporting church. Just one. By the way, he only had one supporting church, but he went and stayed. You missionaries, go and stay. Go and stay. You say, "Brother, I guess what if it gets tough?" There's no "what if it gets tough." It's going to get tough. It will. Stay. Stay. Stick with it. God blesses that. Notice, if you will, "No church communicated with me as giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." They supported Paul, and Paul took the support, and he distributed it to others. Notice verse 17. Now this is the key to it. This is the key. This is why we're here. Look, if you will, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit in Kenya. Fruit in Kenya. Won't it be wonderful one of these days when you go to heaven and all are gathered there and the Kenyans come to you and say, thank you for sending our missionary to us. You say, you think he'll know me? They're not going to be dumber up there than they are down here. Yeah, they're going to know us. We'll know even as we are known, God's Word says. And the Beale family in Thailand, and of course the Burgetts in Japan, and the Beck family in Montana. All of those folks, and the Bible says that what you do for them and getting them in onto the field, keeping them on the field, and by the way, one of the great things about doing it the Bible way. Now, I have no animosity, but I think I'll make it clear. We're not doing it the Nashville way.
Right.
We're doing it the Bible way.
Right.
Now, the Nashville way, the separate churches do not know their missionaries. You will know your missionaries. The letters will be read periodically. When they write and say, Pastor, pray for us, we've got this need. And by the way, the Bible does tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it makes it clear that if we follow the New Testament example, you and I are to be addicted to the care of the saints. Addicted. Have any of you ever been addicted? Cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, got to have a fix. Boy, I have known people that just had to help missionaries. They just had to do it or bust. I mean, they had gotten a heart for mission so much that when they read a missionary letter and saw that there was a need, or when they saw that there was something about their automobile or new tires that were needed or a new dress that was needed for the wife or shoes for the husband, they just had to do something about it. They were addicted to the saints. Now, God's Word makes it clear that if you and I are involved, in this, to give the gospel to souls around the world, to missionaries around the world, God's Word makes it clear that those people that are saved as a result of us sending, it will be put to our account. What does the Word say to you? Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the only way you can do it. And Jesus said, when you do it this way, I will put it to your account. I will make that a part of your own blessings that you will meet in heaven, the souls that have been saved and will go there as a result of what you have done. Well, let me quickly give you some reasons why you ought to be involved in this. I believe, and I think it's clearly in the Bible. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 has my life verse thus far. It's been my life verse now for 55 years. I may end up changing someday, but I haven't yet. I have kept this as my life verse for 55 years. Let's just see, please. And I know you've been sitting for a while, but would you stand in honor of the reading of God's Word prior to a message, no matter how pitiful it is on my part? Look, if you will, at verse 10. For me, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Father, help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Did you know that if you're a child of God, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account? I was telling James, I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it wasn't him, it was somebody I was telling recently. There were three churches, military churches, in Germany. And we, independent Baptists, all had great fellowship. There was Rhine River, my church. There was Rhineland, Kaiserslautern. And there was Rhine Valley, Wiesbaden. Those three churches. And did you know what happened? Rhineland, which was the old church and bigger church, their bank was the same thing as our bank. The bank got the accounts mixed up. I looked at my bank account one day and I said, whoopee. And I realized immediately what had happened, and I called Brother Wood and I said, you want your money back? And, boy, the ability to keep those accounts. But even at that, they mess up. Did you know that Jesus knows everything about us? Every word, every thought, every deed. He knows what we do with this stuff. Did you know that God's Word tells us, listen to this, money answereth all things. Have you ever heard that statement, money talks? It's in the Bible. Money answereth all things. You can tell where your priorities are by your bank account. You can tell where your priorities are about how you spend this stuff. I know several people now, I have heard several people in the last few years, and they've said this, Brother Lancaster, I give the glory to God, but the largest single check I write every year, I mean every month, is for my faith promise. Larger than my house payment, larger than my car payment. What I'm simply saying is this, one day you and I are going to have to give an account for this stuff before God. Let me also suggest another reason to you real quickly. Look, if you will, please, at verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Terror. Without Christ, people are going to go to hell. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Nobody. Ms. Lancaster and I were in China. And we were in one of the huge, huge cities of China. And, I mean, there were just people shoulder to shoulder on the streets. And up in front of us, you could see people going this way and going that way. There was obviously something in the middle of the street or in the middle of the sidewalk, big sidewalk. And as we got closer, they began going this way and that way. And there was an old man there. And he was sitting on a pallet, just a sort of a rug kind of affair. Stunk. For some reason, he made me think of my father. My father was a drunkard. I reached into my pocket and pulled out a tract, and it was English. I could not speak a word to him. I looked around to see if there might be, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Somebody that I could say, hey, come here and help me. Nobody. I walked off. I've never forgotten it.
I am glad that two teenage girls came to see my father and led my father to Christ. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. No one. No one. Here's the third reason. Look at it if you will, please. Go to verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ narrows us. The love of Christ focuses us. The love of Christ puts our priorities in the right place. Our priorities ought to be the same as the Lord's priorities. Heaven, salvation for people. That's the heartbeat of God. It is. And then notice, if you will, in verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. My life verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Oh, the wonderful change that takes place in people's lives when they come to know the Savior as their own Savior. Dottie and I have had the privilege now to go back to some places that we went to years ago and see people that we led to the Lord and see people that got saved and see the difference in their lives now. I think about Bill Johnson, military guy. And Bill Johnson, I met him one day on our base. He said, I'm not coming. No, I'm not going to be there. But every Saturday night, our men went out on the base. Several of them went out on the base, just walking through and visiting some of their workmates. And I was out on Saturday night, and I pulled up in a particular housing area. And here was three, maybe four of my men, and they had Bill Johnson there. I said, hey, what you guys doing? They said, well, we're trying to get Bill to come tomorrow. And I said, Bill, you coming to church? He said, no, I'm not coming to church. He said, that church would fall in if I ever came. I said, it didn't when I went in. I said, come on. He said, I ain't coming. But he did. I threatened to run him off several times. You couldn't run him off. I mean, old Bill, he cried all the way through the service and came. And I believe that he's one of the greatest men that I've ever known. He made up his mind. He was going to take care of his family. He was going to put God first. And he's out of the military now, serving the Lord. Do you know, it's wonderful what God will do for people and how God changes people's lives. Then let me give you the last one, if you will. Verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Have any of you ever said that, "Ooh, I wish I had a ministry"? You got one. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. Get a hold of somebody with love. Get a hold of somebody with prayer. Get a hold of somebody with care. And give them the gospel and bring them to Jesus. That's what reconciliation is bringing them to Jesus, to God, through Jesus Christ. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We got the ministry and we got the book. Verse 20. Now then, we are, you are, I are. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Come to God. Please come to God. Please come to God. Please come to God. For he hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Somebody was telling me earlier tonight that one of our brothers told me, he said, I lived and ministered in Jacksonville, Florida. And years ago, I was in Jacksonville preaching for Brother Gray. And he had something to do one night, and I went out to eat alone afterwards. And I went to one of the cafeterias. I can't think of the name of it. But I went to one of my favorite cafeterias. And I sat there by myself and prayed and enjoyed my meal. And when I got up ready to pay my bill, the line had gotten sort of long. And so I went up and stood in the line, and it was getting late, and some of the servers were there, some of the people that were taking care of the tables, and they were getting ready to go home. And their conversation went something like this. Did you see him? Yes, I did. I did. I recognized him just as soon as he walked through the door. Did you get to talk to him? I did say hello to him. And, I never thought that I would see him here in our restaurant. Oh, I recognized him just as soon as he came through the door. Did you get his autograph? Yes, yes. Did you? Yes. And so I thought I better jump in on this. And I said, ladies, would you like to have my signature? And one of them looked at me just for a minute and said, who are you? I said, I'm an ambassador. And she said, what country do you represent? I said, I've never been there, but I'm going there. And she smiled and she said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. Let me ask you this. Are you a good ambassador or are you a lousy ambassador? Are you a good one? I believe those are wonderful reasons that you and I ought to be involved here, right here, right outside those doors in our Jerusalem. And then as far as we can go, and then when we can go no farther, sending others that they go in our behalf to glorify the dear Lord. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Help us, dear Lord, please, in the sweet name of Jesus, help us, O God. Lord, there are people in this room that have never been saved. Lord, I'm not being judgmental. I just know the crowds that I have been in, and there are always a few wonderful people, just like this sweet girl over here that got saved Sunday and was baptized tonight. Lord, a crowd like this, there are people here that need to be saved. They'd like to try to talk themselves into that. Well, I'm a church member. Yes, I've been baptized, but never born again. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Must be. And then, Lord, no doubt there are Christians. And there are several names that could be used for them. Nominal, lackadaisical, backslidden, careless, unconcerned, no Bible, no prayer, no witness, no faithfulness in attendance, no concern for lost souls. Help those precious Christians to be constrained by the love of Christ. Help them to be constrained, prioritized by the love of our Savior. Help us, O God. And then, Lord, no doubt there are folks that you're speaking to. I want you to go. I want you to surrender. I want you to let me lead you. I want me to direct you. I want you to let me put you exactly where I want you to be. If you will just surrender to me and want to go. Help us, oh God. Save the lost. Draw Christians to yourself. While our heads are bowed for a moment,